And follow that, we will have our worship service from Terry, myself, and May.
Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. After all, what is Apollos and what is Paul? We are only people who serve. We helped you believe. The Lord has given each of us our own works to do. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So the one who plants it is not important. The one who waters it is not important. It is God who makes things grow. He's the one who is important. The one who plants and the one who waters have the same purpose. The Lord will give each of us a reward for our work. We work together with God. You are like God's field. You are like His building. This is the word of God.
Good morning again. Since Pastor Eva's away this weekend, she asked both Jean, May, and I to speak today. We had attended a class in May or in April and May for the Advanced Lay Speakers class, and we were studying a book called "A Fire with God: Becoming Spirited Stewards." So will you join me in a prayer? Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you will use Jean, May, and I to speak your truth, Lord. We thank you that we had the opportunity to go to a class for 5 weeks on becoming spiritual stewards. So we pray, Lord, that as a church, that you will use us, that you will help us, Lord, to become spirited stewards. In Jesus' name, amen. So the book is by Betsy, I can't even pronounce her last name, Schwarzentraub, I believe. Go ahead and the next slide. So we took a class, as I said, for 5 weeks, and in God's infinite wisdom, the three of us signed up for the same class. There was a couple classes to choose from, and we were all surprised that we showed up to the same class. It was led by Reverend Wilburn, who is the husband of the former DS, Reverend Kathy Wilburn. A Fire with God urges ministries and churches to become stewards in action of all that God has entrusted to us. Spirited stewards go beyond financial commitments, and it's more than just giving money. They are becoming living examples of the gospel. Go ahead and click. So the question that we covered in our class is, why talk about stewardship? Stewardship means something far different from, something broader and deeper than fundraising for the church. What if lively, authentic stewardship holds the key to our spiritual journey as individuals and as congregations? What if stewardship is the way we can live out the gospel, positively afire with God? Real stewardship is radical, which means going to the roots of our faith. Real stewardship will change our thinking, our acting, and imaging. It will alter our identity as a community of stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And most of all, it will change our vision of ministry working from the inside out. Oh, sorry, it's a little tiny. Next slide. Discipleship and stewardship, they're intertwined. It's how one takes care of and uses the resources that God gives us. It's recognizing all of our resources are from God and they belong to God. it's our ability to describe our faith journey as a steward for God. So what is stewardship? The word stewardship comes from the Greek word okeinomos, which means someone who manages a household. A person doesn't own the household, but manages everything that goes on. Stewards in the ancient or biblical times, they were entrusted with everything from seeing that the floors were clean, to the household finances, to the public face of that household. A good biblical example of that is Joseph. Stewardship is a continuous cycle, beginning with God's initiative and gifts, and continues with our receiving, managing, and distributing all that God has entrusted to us. Stewardship is giving of our time, gifts, and talents, treasures, money, relationships, and the gospel for the sake of God's purposes in the world. So some questions to ask ourselves. Number one, does the calendar on your smartphone reflect God's glory? Number two, do the transactions of your bank account reflect God's glory? And number three, how about your relationships with other people? Do your relationships reflect God's glory? So some things to think about stewardship is when we share our time, gifts and talents, our treasures, money and relationships with our church and with others in our community, we are making a confession. A confession that God owns it all anyway. Better yet, it's a partial payment for what the church has done to help raise you and your family, to keep your priorities sorted out, and to tune in to His ever nearness. Our encounter with God and the resulting way of life defines not only how we see and understand our resources, but establishes what we do with them. So if we convert the noun steward into a verb, it will transform who we are becoming and can do in the world. Thank you. Next will be Jean, who's going to share.
As you know, the book goes into many chapters and the definitions of how we come up with stewardship. So I'm going to be taking the section on the stewardship in action. And what it says is that the stewardship is an ongoing journey. It all begins in a lifelong process to deepen our commitment and willingness to act upon it. We can begin by examining our ways of worship and commitment of giving. As you know, if you've been, most of us, or maybe not all, everyone, but everyone comes from a different background. As far as your Christian life in the church, some of our kids here have started when they were babies. And as you go to Sunday school, you get in the practice of, they give you stories about Jesus and why we give to God. So with this type of nurturing that you get during your lifetime being in the church, you get that stimulus as to, you know what Jesus does, we know why we give, and things like that. So as you get older and older, and grow in the church, then your faith gets a little deeper as you hear more about stories of Jesus and what God has done for you in your lives. So as we become adults, you go to school, you go, anyway, you have all types of transitions in your life. So it's the matter of part of giving. When you hear a sermon, when you actually come to a service, you hear a sermon and you like rededicate your life to say, yes, God has really blessed us in many ways. So when it comes for the time of offering, this is when we give back to God to say, thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've given to me. And so the book goes into different scenarios. They kind of give names to how different people give, and then or how we culture our mind setting as we grow up. Now, there are people that that probably haven't been to church regular, and they're just now beginning to go to church. Well, maybe if in their life period, they are just now beginning to learn more about Christ and are beginning to see the difference of what God can really do to them. And I'd like to kind of point out for the example of the word they called proportionate giver. Proportionate giver is someone that they kind of like give at an increment during your life period. And I give that example for myself because I feel that it kind of happened to me that way. I thought it was kind of unusual, but now I think about it, yeah, that's what happened to me. When I actually started working, I didn't have that much money to give to Christ here at church, but because I had to, you know, take care of the family. My father had just passed away, and so I was like the breadwinner of the family. So you have to budget yourself, and we always I had to budget your money to make sure, you know, everybody gets paid, and of course the church giving was one of them. And at that time it's like a certain percentage. It could be like 1% or whatever, and that was fine, but at least God wants us to give what we can't. And then when I found work, I work for a civil service. Might as well tell you, I work for Caltrans, as most of you know. And that's in order to get ahead in a civil service, you have to take a written test. Well, in my lifetime at Caltrans, I counted back and I said, oh, gee, I took 7 different written tests, which I had to pass. And I had to be in the top 3 in order for me to get that promotion, to be asked, you know, to take that position. Well, on 2 of them, I didn't pass the first time. And then I said, gee, I would resort back to my faith to God and say, Lord, what happened? You know, it's almost like I tried to rededicate my life again to God. It says, whatever you have or whatever you have for me in the future, I will do it for you. So the next time I took the test, and thank God I did pass, and from then on, my increments of my giving kept increasing by percentage, little by little, even if it's 1% or 0.5% or whatever, but at least I've always given to the church. And not only have I just given to the church, I've also served at the church. I've been on a lot of committees, which I found was very interesting, that in the Methodist system, in order to know how the Methodist works, you have to be on a committee, because that's what Methodist is. It's a matter of being on a committee. You find out how to run the church. Methodist is run by the people, not by the pastors or whatever. Yes, they give us our messages, which they are taught to do that to us, but they give us the spiritual message that we need to be fed on. And but we as a people, we run the church. So when we need your help to do things at the church or be an officer, be glad and be rejoiced in it, because you have a say-so here in this church. And so you know what's going on, and it's a lot, becomes a lot more meaningful if you, you know, help out in that sense. So anyway, that's my example of the proportionate of one type of giving. And then of course it's always percentage. 10% has always been like it's not really a magical number, but it's been spoken at in the Bible in Deuteronomy 26, where God tells the people, go out and give your first crop as well as your tithings and offer it on a yearly cycle. And this will be your act of giving back to God, giving thanksgiving back to God, and it's like a celebration. So you are supporting not only when you give back to God, just like when you come to church, we celebrate by our offering. When we give it here, we celebrate the things that we have to do for this church. We do it to maintain the building, continue our worships, our ministry, whatever we do here at the church, so that we can spread the word of Jesus Christ, which God wants us to do, to spread his words. And so that is kind of what they call fruitful living, that you give the first crop, you give the best of everything at the beginning, if that's your ways of income or whatever. I mean, that was, you know, the thought at that time. And they say proportionate giving apparently is the key to stewardship, to be a fire with God, which is the title of our book. And they said that the percentage, the proportional, you know, giving is, there are six things that it helps spark. It helps have a greater, number one, it's the greater dreams for the congregation as a result in trust in your leadership. And number two, there's more risk taking within the church family, as far as, you know, the percentage that you have to give. And the third is you focus upon your future, not upon maintaining the status quo. And then there's a challenge. Number four is a challenge to others to join them in intentional giving. And number five is the atmosphere of freedom to share about money and spiritual issues. And number six, you discover that giving your money leads to giving ourselves. And so the issue is not how much you have or how much you give. It's rather what you do with all of God has given to us. So proportionate giving does beckon our spiritual journey that invites us to grow. So now, are you ready to build your fire with God and be a grateful giver? That's it. Now May has the last portion.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to pray before I start. Dear Lord, thank you for everyone here and this church that we could come and worship you. Please let the Holy Spirit fall upon us to help us to give more, because we are so grateful for what you've given us in our lives. Speak through me on what you want me to say about stewardship. We love you, Lord, and all this we pray in your name. Amen. What I'm going to share might be the same as Jean, but in another way. Okay, and the words come from the book itself, so it might be something I have to read to you, so please bear with me. Okay, so to start off, every resource belongs to God. Stewardship is to help others. Give your time and prayer. Share resources with others, Your heart tells you what to do and give. Faith journey is steward to God. Spirit stewardship asks the Holy Spirit to ask the Holy Spirit for prayer and then start our planning when we have our meetings, okay? And then it also includes how we care for all the creatures in earth. Discipleship, God will be with you, so don't be afraid to increase on your giving. On Luke 3:12, on economics, it says, collect no more than what you need. A faithful giver and you'll receive back more. Stewardship is showing the goodness by the way we live. Stewardship is both individual and corporate. TLC, it's a total life commitment to God. Its purpose is on earth and tender loving care. And the story about the burning bush, God left it up to Moses to notice that something was different about the bush, kept on burning. It's up to Moses to turn aside and check it out. Moses' awareness is curious enough to turn aside. In Exodus 3:7-8, the Lord heard his people crying and suffering. So I come down to rescue them from the land of Egyptians into the land of milk and honey. Suffering is allowed. On the hymn number 142 by George Newmark, it says, if thou but suffer God to guide thee. Okay, next Moses takes a closer look, and God says to remove your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. The entire earth is holy. And Psalms 24, verses 1 says, the earth is the Lord and all that is in it. In the Old Testament, steward discerns as a trustee the best course of the action for the family or nation. In the New Testament, stewardship from trustee, it shifts to partnership. So we all work together. It's not one person telling you what to do. Be a doer, lead to trust in God. Love, in Ephesians chapter 3, 14-21, God is working with us to give us power to comprehend. Again, the New Testament works as partnership. Paul says we are God's servant, working together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, as a partner, we work together for common purpose. The United Methodists of all ages and other generations, God acts through people who are stewards, including Moses, John Wesley, and us. Jesus says the two commandment is inseparable. It's Matthew chapter 22:37-40. First is to love your Lord with your heart, soul, and mind. Second is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And on Luke 16:1-13, you cannot serve God and money. Experiencing freedom in the proportionate giving. 10% is often considered the norm for Christian giving. Members of churches fall far short of that percentage. But proportionate giving is giving a percentage of our income. Whatever it may be, encourage Christians to decide upfront what they will offer back to God through the church. Proportionate giving is emphasizing intentional giving, regardless of the amount of our financial resources. It also gives us freedom to start wherever we are and keep growing. We may start from 1% to 2%, from 2 to 5, and from 10 to 20, or more, depending on the circumstances and the living out of your gratitude to God. Churches cannot assume that families are training their children in positive patterns of church, attendance, percentage, giving, tithing, and growing personal commitment. Although longtime church members often expect such understanding and commitment, they have some suggestions that children and youth can do for church. Can become generous, joyful, stewards, a key ingredient to recognizing teachable moment for the stewardship in their lives. Participate in worship. Visiting a sick or lonely friend. Exercising, praying, talking about Jesus, planting a garden, practicing good nutrition, and develop positive relationship. Children learning to relate Bible stories to their lives. The youth stewardship. Activities including writing maybe a skit, giving to the missionaries, designing a stewardship, maybe a board game, planning stewardship with a puppet show, tithing their allowance, and participating in congregation decisions, outreaching to others. Okay, let me see here. Okay. I want to leave you with two passages. It's Luke 14, 25 to 30, planting ahead. Jesus said, "Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless you have loved me more than any one of your family and be able to leave them to become a disciple and follow me. If you want to build a tower, you have to plan out how much it costs and see if you have enough money to build a tower. If he doesn't, he will not be able to finish the tower. After laying the foundation, and all who sees what happened to will make fun of him." Jesus concluded that none of you can be my disciples unless he gives up everything you have. The second passage I'll leave you with is Luke 12, verses 13 to 21. When our rich robs us, Jesus told this parable to the crowd. There was a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He ran out of storage space to store his crops in his barns. So he broke down the old barns and built bigger ones where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, "Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, enjoy yourself." But God said to him, "You fool, this night you have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself?" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is to store up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." Thank you. We'll have offering now. Can we have the ushers come forward and we'll give our offering?
Thank you.
Please stand. Stand for the dedication, this offering to the Lord. Dear God, we want to thank you for everything you have given us. We'd like to offer our gifts back to you to help us in the needs for our church. All this we pray in your precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Oh, you want to do it? Okay, our announcements is on the right-hand side, and those of you that help out Fred in driving him to church, they will have a celebration, and thank you for taking him to church. So it's next week. We'll have it at Hot Wool. It has the address there. Please RSVP Jean if you are coming. Also, the English Christmas party is going to be on December the 10th at Iva and Kenneth Kane's home, and it's going to be Saturday, 5:30, potluck, and have children's game fellowship and singing. So please RSVP Pastor Eva for dishes that you would like to bring. Is there any other announcements on the floor? Okay, go ahead, Lucy. Yay. Okay. Okay, anything else? Okay. Okay, and remember to save the dates of all those events that's going to come up. If nothing else, we'll have our hymn, closing hymn. We plow the fields and scatter on page 448. And then Jean will give the benediction. Terry will give benediction. Okay, thanks.
We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. But it is bread and water by God's almighty hand. He lets the snow in winter, the warm and swelling grain, the breezeless and the sunshine, the small refreshing rain. All good things. Most desire.